It's Ember Saturday in the first week of Lent. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zolsdorf. The Roman station today is San Pietro in Vaticano. The first basilica was built here on the Vatican Hill by the Emperor Constantine over the cemetery which held the bones of St. Peter next to the Circus of Caligula where the apostle had been crucified upside down. Peter's body was placed in a little pauper's grave, but from devotion to that grave and to his martyr's blood, there sprang up a force that would embrace the whole world. The old basilica eventually went to ruin and was torn down so that the new church could be built. Julius II laid the cornerstone for the new basilica in 1502. This is the third and the final Ember Day of Lent. Embertides were traditionally times for ordinations. In the ancient church, people spent the whole night in a vigil of prayer at the basilica in preparation for the ordinations the next day. We have Ember Day sermons at St. Peter's by St. Pope Leo the Great, Leo I, who died in 461. Leo preached on the Transfiguration, which was the gospel reading today for over 1,500 years. In his book, Journey Towards Easter, Joseph Ratzinger gives a reflection on the arrangement of the Lenten Ember Days before ordinations. On Wednesday, we ask the help of Mary and entrust the men to be ordained to her care. On Friday, we invoke all the apostles, and finally, at the heart of apostolic succession, the ordinations were performed under the aegis of Peter. Angelo Cardinal Comastri is the archpriest of the Basilica of St. Peter. Continued from yesterday, from the Heresy of Formlessness by Martin Mosebach. Although the essential elements of the liturgy can be found in the earliest testimonies of the apostolic period, the liturgy's internal architecture could only unfold when an external architecture had been created for it. For the first 3 centuries, the liturgy was celebrated not in buildings specially made for it, but in the famous catacombs and in private houses and provisional locations, expressing the vicissitudes of the early church's life. It was the Emperor Constantine the Great who erected the first churches, immediately after his victory over Maxentius in A.D. 313, namely, the Lateran Basilica, Old St. Peter's, and St. Paul's outside the walls, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, and the predecessor of today's Hagia Sophia in Constantinople. The great imperial architecture comes at the very beginning of Christian church building. This insight from the world of art history is particularly significant for a liturgy that is most intimately fused with ecclesiastical architecture. Examining early Christian representations of the Madonna and the saints, in a tradition that extends into the Middle Ages, one often notices the curtains that are either pushed to one side or else form a decorative envelope for the figure portrayed. These curtains come from Byzantine court ceremonial, as practiced by Constantine. Even this emperor's predecessors no longer followed the model of the Augustan and ultimately Republican prince, but had adopted the style of government and self-awareness of the great Oriental kings. The princeps had become the basileus. The most important of the ceremonies with which the emperor surrounded himself was the imperial epiphany, in which the emperor was manifested to his court in all his glory. The emperor and his family, dressed in bejeweled finery, assembled behind a curtain while the court waited expectantly in the palace hall. When the curtain opened, revealing the emperor, the court sank to their knees in proskynesis. There is clearly a strong association between a scene such as this and the view of the opened tabernacle, its veil drawn to one side, the ciborium displayed, its veil removed, and the congregation on their knees before it in prayerful adoration. Here we have the germ from which the liturgy's gesture of kneeling adoration developed. To be continued.